With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Group of death. This was group F me, mate.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. My name is Serge.
Well, kind of.
Fantasy
not.
Euro 2020.
That's the one, sweetheart.
Yes.
How you doing?
I've got a bone to pick with Fantasy Euro 2020, but
my name's James, by the way.
It is Jammers. I'm doing all right. I had a hectic old day yesterday. I'm not in the flipping car recording now, at least, which is a much more comfortable environment to be recording in. But I was driving yesterday from like 5 o'clock all the way through to 7:38, and didn't get a chance to watch the evening games. I was mobbed by my kids when I got in, but I was following it and I missed an evening of chaos. But anyway, Euro 2020.
What
Fantasy
about it?
Euro 2020.
Oh, okay. How did you finish for the week?
We did a pod at the start, and I was under the impression that the rules are, if you don't make any substitutions, that's when auto substitutions happen. If you make a manual substitution, then no auto substitutions happen.
What? Did you move captain at all?
Yes.
You're fucked.
So my auto subs didn't kick in. But no one said that. So I, because when we talked about it, we said, if you make a substitution.
Oh no, Sid, what have you done?
then no other substitutions will automatically happen. If you don't make a substitution, the substitutions will happen. So that's why I was like, oh, well, I mean, the players that are coming out haven't played any minutes in Mount and Berardi and whatever else. Oh, so no. I don't need to make any substitutions. But apparently that's not the way it works.
How many points did you lose?
I had Pau Torres on the bench and Bednarek, so it's fine. But I ended on 65, same as the previous week where it started so well and finished average. I don't know what these guys scored.
Well, Torres scored. Or he
Pau Torres. Did he not have minus points?
I think
he
got 4 points, Pau Torres, I think.
So when I saw our friend FPL dummy Tom, I thought he tweeted a picture of minus four on Pau Torres.
They won 5 mil, mate.
So 4 points from Pau Torres and one pointer
from Bednarek.
All
right, so it only cost you 5 points.
Yeah, it's not, okay. I mean, whatever. But I just, a little bit of clarity around what the rules meant would have helped, because I would have then done it.
Ask your pod partner.
No, but we talked about it.
Yeah, but but I would have said to you, if you move your captain, then no. Once you make any change to that team, the game assumes that you're in charge. So
right.
If you've moved the captaincy, the game thinks you're in charge.
Yeah. Which is not what I was under the impression it was. So 4 points, 5 points down the toilet. But I ended on 65, so it wasn't great. The ending was flat. Same as the previous week. Started well and ended flat. Which is ironic when you've got like the bigger teams playing later in Spain, Portugal, Germany, France. But so be it. Whatevs. It's not exactly like, you know, it's the biggest thing in the world. I'm 64K now. Oh, I had a little drop. Oh, oh well. Wildcard's going to have to be good, isn't it?
I'd like to say good morning to all Planet FPL patrons who are playing Euro Fantasy, because you're all fucking below me this morning.
Are you top of the Planet FPL league?
Yeah, mate.
A patron league or?
At a patron league.
I'm not even in the patron
league. I'm 16th.
That says a lot.
I'm 16th in the overall mini league, which isn't bad when we've got over 1,000 in there.
It's over 3,000 in there, isn't it? I think it is.
I don't know how many's in there. It just tells you over 1,000.
Oh, 1K plus. Okay.
I am 1,996th overall. For me, the wild card worked out pretty well. 83 points. I obviously took the 11 points out yesterday for Marlon, Dumfries, Belotti and Bushkan, which was made up immediately from Simon and Moreno, 11 points in the Spain game. And then an extra 10, which was a bit disappointing from the three Germans. But the goal from Kai Havertz made it all worthwhile. So 83 points in the end for the week. So, yeah, good position. It'd be interesting. I think we'll talk more about it tomorrow in terms of the strategy of what we do next, because I obviously am without chips now. You still have a wild card, which presumably you will use from the quarterfinal stage onwards.
Yeah, depending on how the results map out from the last 16, to be honest with you. Yeah,
I think we'll bring final drafts to the table tomorrow, and it'd be interesting to see how close or different we are, because I think I will still fucking go for it and commit to like four Italy, for example, and stuff like that.
Yep. Because the rules do now change. We can have more players from any single team.
Yeah.
So it could be interesting how people navigate that. It's nice to be learning the game as we're going along. It's a new format, isn't it? So, yeah. Let's wrap up yesterday's games. And then we'll talk about the lineup for the last 16 and what we're thinking in terms of who will win, who could go big, and then who might be ones to consider from a fantasy point of view. Slovakia 0, Spain 5. I mean, that's a battering. And a missed penalty in there as well, let's not forget, for our friend Alvaro Morata.
Yeah, it absolutely was that. 3.46 XG for Spain, 66% of the ball, which we'd imagine. 19 shots to 3, 9 shots on target to 0. Ironically, obviously, Dubravka has made a very good penalty save from Morata, who I think most people are like, what's Morata taking it for? Because Mourinho has taken most of it.
Most people
are like,
what's Morata playing for, to be honest, quite often.
Well, Enrique's clearly on him, isn't it? It's a little bit like what we said about the England team yesterday. You just accept some players are going to play.
Yeah.
It does ironically make, just playing up front for Spain, does make Morata a bit of a live threat. I think most people thought Mourinho still should have been on the penalties. Mourinho played in a different position yesterday. He played on the left of the front three rather than the right with Paulo Sarabia of Paris Saint-Germain coming in. He's only 6.5 in Euro Fantasy, which could be a very interesting one if he keeps his spot in the team.
Two assists and a goal. Can't argue with that.
You said to me you didn't watch any of the footy yesterday. No. Have you not seen Dubravka's own goal?
No. I haven't had a chance to catch up yet.
So
talk it through and I'm going to have a listen. I'm going to watch it after.
Slovakia give the ball away in their final third and Spain are obviously running at them. Sarabia cuts in, hits a fucking fire shot, smashes off the bar and goes directly straight upwards.
Oh, wow. Okay, fair play.
Into the blue sky and the sun. And it really, really goes high and it's coming straight back down. You don't know if it's going to land just the other side of the net, this side. Dubravka goes up to kind of make sure they obviously don't go in the goal and he just palms it into the goal.
He goes to tap it away.
And he just palms it down into the goal.
Straight into the goal.
I think what happened...
Probably lost it in the sun a little bit.
Really,
maybe.
Really bizarre. If you look at... There's an angle that showed it of him kind of really close up where actually he jumps and he's in the shade and as he's coming back down... half of his face goes into the sun. Mm. So I really think he might have got blinded. And I think at that point...
Dubravka's a good goalkeeper.
What ended up happening was, because I think when it originally went up, he thought this is going to be so close to the bar, I'll just kind of tip it over. And as it came back down and he lost it a little bit, it was obviously kind of dropping like sort of a yard the other side. And he's ended up where he's thinking, I'm going to push it over the bar. But he's actually a little bit behind him.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, he's got two choices. He's got to punch the thing or he's got to catch it and fall backwards, which he would have been falling away from the goal. But he decided to go with what the original thought was, I think, which I'm going to palm this over. And he's ended up coming off like the bottom of his wrist, just going straight down into the goal. One of the classic goalkeeper own goals. Once they got the second through Llorente, assisted by Moreno. The game was very comfy for them. I watched most of Sweden, Poland from there on in.
I criticise Spain for not being able to score enough goals. I mean, they've gone and banged in five. Does that bode that they might be better in front of goal and be able to go a bit further in the tournament maybe? Or do they still have the same problems and Slovakia just kind of gifted them?
The last minute Sweden goal was landed Spain on the wrong side of the draw, really. They'd wanted to be on the other side. They're capable because they've got good footballers, right? I feel like they're missing something from the... I mean, it's obvious Iniesta, Xavi and a few other great players from the great Spain team of sort of 8-10 years ago. But they're a live threat. Of course they are. Because they're they'll pass you to death. I think Busquets coming back is beneficial over Rodri. He's obviously a very experienced player. Interestingly, I know Pau Torres obviously come on and assisted the own goal. Eric Garcia came in and played at centre-back, which we've spoken about the awkwardness of Torres and Aymeric Laporte both being left-footed. So that obviously Laporte and Garcia know each other's game from time together at Manchester City. As Pilicueta came in at right back, and that just had a more solid feel to it. But Slovakia is not a test, and they did not get tested through that game. I would say Pau Torres now becomes dangerous for fantasy managers in the knockout stage, to the extent that I think Garcia could keep his place in the team. As Pilicueta may do the same at right back, I spoke about Sarabia 6.5 is interesting. Moreno's obviously the same price. I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet with Spain. I need to give it some thought. They obviously play Croatia next. And then they play the winner of the Italy game, I think. I'll check that.
Italy-Austria. And that was obviously at the same time as Sweden beating Poland 3-2. Sweden, we already knew, were through, but it was just a case of where they finished in the group.
Sorry, Spain likely to play France. Sorry.
France. So, Sweden go through.
Yeah, mad game. I mean, it was mad football all through the day, summed up by Lewandowski's double miss at 1-0, where he's powered a header off the underside of the bar, comes back down, he's there for the rebound, can't miss from 3-4 yards out, manages to head it onto the bar again. Sweden, lively. I think they were happy to cede possession for most of the game, what I saw. I mean, what I saw of it, Poland were chasing the game quite a bit and had to go for it and threw men forward, obviously. But I think that suits them having to play in that style. The one that will catch everybody's attention is obviously Forsberg, who scored twice again. Lovely little player. Might also catch people's attention that the final goal was assisted by Dejan Kulusevski, who was being kind of talked about as a bit of a differential going into game weeks 1 and 2. He came on for the final 35 minutes or so and may stay in the team. But I'm not sure Sweden will change their winning lineup. Forsberg, from a fantasy perspective, is the outstanding one. Isak is obviously an exceptional talent, but there isn't anything to show from that yet in terms of attacking returns, although he was extremely unlucky, particularly in the Slovakia game. I'm pleased that Lewandowski scored twice, because I think for him to get 3 goals in 3 games in this team, and he should have had more, it's kind of shut a few
underlines
people up
his,
about it.
His ability. He's,
I mean, the
is.
First goal he scored is brilliant, and the second one, once it drops to him, even on his left peg, there's not a doubt that he's going to finish it. I think Sweden ended up nicking the group because Poland obviously knew they had to win and had to go for it at the death. A winning goal for Poland would have knocked Ukraine out. But Ukraine, are clever bastards. Tried to avoid fucking playing Italy, didn't they? I tweeted that during the game. Ukraine don't want to play Italy when they were losing to Austria and they've ended up with Sweden, didn't they?
Yeah.
And on the right side of the draw, but they've fucking scraped
just.
It. Absolutely scraped it. Poland, that's a disappointing tournament. Mainly because of the first game, losing to Slovakia.
Poland and Turkey, the two disappointments.
They probably wouldn't have ended up losing this game if not for the fact they were obviously having to chase the winner. They got a very creditable draw against Spain in match day 2. I think they're a team. Turkey mass disappointed. I think in Poland's case, they've disappointed in to the extent that their results should have been better.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Turkey were in a tough group and got well beat by Wales and Switzerland. I don't think Poland shouldn't have been finishing this group in 1 point.
No.
Disappointing.
There's the other group, obviously group F, the group of death. Was I feel like over the course of the 2 hours there was every permutation and combination that happened, that Portugal being top, then France being top, Germany being out at 1 point, Hungary looking like they were going to get onto 4 points when they were beating Germany, and in the end it's ended up with France top, Germany second, Portugal third, Hungary out.
Group of death. This was group F me, mate. Unbelievable finish. So at one point or another, England were playing every team in the group.
Yes,
last night.
Mad.
It actually changed. England's opponents changed 8 times during
it's
the course
mad.
Of the night.
Absolute mad.
And yet we ended up exactly where we started with both teams
England,
drawing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was, I mean, I'm not going to give you too much tactically on either any of the four teams that played, because I was just flicking constantly.
Yeah.
I think like most people, I'm going to watch Portugal France and it'll be what it'll be, because these are the two teams I can learn about the most. But once Hungary went in Fred, it was like, I need to be watching this game, mate, because if the Germans are going to go out, I need to be watching this.
Yeah.
So I ended up watching probably more of Germany-Hungary than Portugal-France, which in hindsight, now that we end up playing Germany, I'm quite pleased about. To cover the games in the first instance, which one do you want to go through first? Or do you just want to go France, like a chronological France, of what the fuck
France,
happened?
France-Portugal. I mean, Ronaldo back on the score sheet twice. What a machine.
There was some controversial moments in this game. I keep changing my mind from every time I've seen it, whether I think the first one where Loris clattered Pereira, I keep changing my mind whether it's a penalty or not, because he ends up like a forearm smash after Pereira heads it and Loris kind of gets a blocked punch on it, and obviously he can't stop his momentum. What I was thinking though was, if Loris had actually caught the ball with two hands and followed through with a momentum like that, it's never a penalty, is it?
No.
And he has ended up blocking it with his hand. But I think it comes across as dangerous play and reckless because of the way Loris collides with him. So I didn't have a problem with that. France's equalising penalty is never a penalty. The foul went on Mbappe. Although they absolutely should have had a penalty at the death as well, which wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have affected the group in any way. But Bruno Fernandes, who didn't start the game, got away with a definite foul on Koeman right near the end. Although I'm not sure if it was borderline, the initial contact might have been outside. And Portugal's second penalty as well for the handball. I don't know where your man's meant to go. Anyway, this was the same referee who refereed the Champions League final. It didn't look quite so clever last night, actually. Different shape from Portugal. So they brought Renato Sanches and João Moutinho into the team. I've spoken previously about their holding midfielders being a little bit samey. This brought a little bit of difference to them. Moutinho is a clever footballer, likes to play a little bit more advanced. Sanches, Swansea fans, every time they're watching for Portugal, must still be hands in heads going, what did we end up getting?
Yeah.
Because he looked so good, particularly in the first half last night. So it was Fernandes that missed out. It meant Bernardo Silva and Jota played in wider areas. It was kind of a 4-1-4-1, basically. And I think they might stay like that with Bruno Fernandes possibly out the team, because they're going to play Belgium now.
It's a tough game.
They're going to be worried about the offensive of
De Bruyne and potential Hazard and Lukaku and everyone else. Yeah.
Nelson Semedo picked up an injury towards the end and actually dealt with Mbappe not too bad. He's a player I'm quite critical of. He dealt with him not too badly. So that's one to keep an eye on. Diego Dalo, formerly of United, may end up coming into the team at right back. Still convinced they're not great defensively. Shout out to Rui Patricio for one worldie of a save in the game as well. And France also changed shape a little bit as well. So we've seen multiple different ways that they've played. We've kind of seen Griezmann playing to the right with Benzema central.
Yep.
We've seen Benzema with Mbappe, with Griezmann more in a hole. This was more of a 4-2-3-1. So Rabiot was left out of the team and played Corentin Tolisso on the right-hand side, basically in a 4-2-3-1. I think France's fullbacks have not played brilliantly in this tournament. So Hernandez was taken off after 45 minutes for Lucas Digne. There's a lot of talk in France at the moment who possibly want Lucas Digne to come into the team.
Yep.
You should be conscious of that. And Pavard has not played brilliant in France's two opening games either. And Jules Koundé played quite well at right back last night. So possible little bit of changes in the fullback areas. I would have thought, as they've got Switzerland in the last 16, that they will probably go back to bring in Rabiot or a similar player back into the midfield. Paul Pogba, excellent last night, by the way. Very good. I mean, he had 97% pass completion despite playing 11 long balls. It tells you what the quality of his long balls were like. And his assist for Benzema is worldy. Absolutely brilliant. I think Benzema's the best attacking one to go for, actually.
Well, he's definitely in the team playing week in, week out. So, and the price
was. He was never going to get brought back into the squad to not play, was he? Basically,
it's true.
I think I'd favour him for the $2 million less than Mbappe at the moment. No goals yet for Mbappe, not for the want of trying. But I think Benzema might be worth the saving. Actually, we know obviously he's on pens now as well, as Pepe was definitely really keen to tell Rui Patricio which way to dive, and of course Patricio dived the other way. Most of you will have seen that.
Hungary have taken 2 points from France and Germany. They got to take credit for that, surely.
So, brilliant stat.
Tell me.
Hungary were losing in the Group F me for 6 minutes.
In the entire... So that... No, I mean, Portugal scored what in the 80... Was it 84th minute?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was 81st or something.
Uh-huh.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's mad.
That we're never losing to France, we're never losing to Germany.
That is incredible.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they were winning across the three games more than any of the other three teams.
I suppose, look, credit to Hungary, but all I'm interested in is, can England beat this German team?
Yes.
And how and why?
So, Germany are quite dysfunctional at the moment, which is very unlike them. I mean, last night, tactics just went absolutely out the window for them. And reading and listening to a few things last night, the Germans are not comfy with playing us. And there's actually a strange dynamic to this in the sense that Germany have some great individuals, but they're not actually playing very well as a cohesive unit at the moment. And then you look at England and the way we've played in the first three games and you go, well, that's a bit fucking German, isn't it?
It's the same, yeah.
And it's almost like the roles of...
I would have thought they'd look at it and be like, historically against England, we've always been good and we've kind of got their number. So... they should be all right.
I wanted to take this little piece for you from Raphael Honigstein, who's the, kind of the most famous
German
English-speaking pundit,
yeah.
Who wrote in The Athletic about Germany's historic strength has been to play like a team with a plan, overcoming individual shortcomings with collective endeavour. This Germany are the opposite. They were once more far smaller than the sum of its parts, a shaggy outfit who found salvation thanks to 1 second of brilliance when Musiala's elegance combined with Goretzka's power. Against England, you cannot help but think the usual roles will be reversed. Gareth Southgate's are a side entirely defined by game plan, somewhat dull but extremely controlled and coldly functional, whereas Lowe's men will arrive in northwest London as an entirely unpredictable ensemble of skillful players, feeding off willpower rather than any clear blueprint, which essentially means, to me, if England play similarly to how they've done in the first three group games, they will get chances against Germany and can beat them.
Yeah. I don't think England will lose because of ability. It'll be mentally. There'll be something around. It's the Germans again. But this generation of players, I mean, they play alongside a lot of the Germans from club football and so on. So... I'm interested to see how it plays out.
I mean, they ended up last night with Leroy Sané playing right back.
Yep. And shout out to Leroy Sané for getting a yellow card.
So for all the kind of will there is in Germany at the moment to change the system to a four, which allows Kimmich to go back centrally as he did in the last half hour or so of this game, it gives them a problem, like I said, in full-back areas, where Gosens is a little bit too offensive to play left back, and they don't have a recognised out-and-out modern-day right-back fullback. And if you think about that against possibly Sterling in the last 16, I mean, it's going to give them some trouble. So I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to try and find a way to shoehorn Leon Goretzka, who equalised in the game, into the team. For me, he should be in this team. He's a good offensive player. His goals assist numbers are very good. I feel Thomas Müller, who obviously didn't start this game, is underwhelmed. I think Serge Gnabry, who I saw absolutely destroy Tottenham a couple of years ago at White Hart Lane, is disappointed through the middle. I'd prefer to see him in a wide role at the moment, actually. There is no question that Germany, individually, all through the team, have got some very, very good players. But as a unit right now, what England have actually ended up with in terms of the opponents we could have had, we've ended up picking out, unbelievably, it's Germany, the most dysfunctional one. And I don't think it's that bad.
Okay.
If we'd have finished second in the group, we'd have played Spain. If we finished third in the group, we'd have probably ended up... who have Czech Republic got? Holland.
Holland.
So
Netherlands.
Sorry, the Netherlands. Fuck me. I'll get there one day, 30 years of habit. So it's going to have a difficult game, whatever happened. We've now got the tie at Wembley. And that winning goal for Sweden... has opened at that. So
40,000 people as well at Wembley. So atmosphere will be lively.
if we win Sweden or Ukraine in Rome, we cannot complain.
No, you're right.
And then a semi-final of Holland, Czech Republic, Denmark or Wales.
It's opened up. If we beat Germany, we should be getting to the final.
You can think it, but don't say it.
Correct.
It's worked out exactly what I'd thought pre-tournament, and I didn't think it would open up this much, that England will absolutely be defined by what happens in this last 16 game.
Correct.
And if we win it, we can win the tournament.
Okay.
But history tells us we will not beat a big opponent.
I'm going to sneeze in a second.
Go on then, fucking sneeze.
Is there... No, it's not coming. Oh, podcast life. I'm about to sneeze and I'm not. Let's talk about the last 16. Rattle through them and just a quick thought on who you think you're going to win and who you think you're going to steam into for your Euro 2020L whatever team. We'll kick off with Wales, Denmark. I feel like if Denmark play like they did in the last game, they should be winning this comfortably 2-1, 3-1, something like that.
Denmark are big favourites with the bookies, but I think it's a bit closer than that.
Yeah, I mean, Wales have shown that they can give anybody a game, and they're kind of, as long as they hang in, then with the talent they've got in Bale and so on, they can get goals. I do think Denmark will win, and I still think they've got that euphoria momentum of what's happened. I do think Denmark will win 2-1, 3-1, but if Wales hang in, at any moment they can obviously create chances with Bale and
England-Wales semi-final.
I mean, could you imagine?
Fuck,
at Wembley,
yeah, it would be.
I'd love it. Because the Welsh are a good crack, man. That'll be a really good atmosphere, so I'll be well up for that. Yeah,
it's more likely to be Denmark beat Germany though, isn't it?
Yeah. What are your thoughts? Denmark?
For me, yes, but I think it'd be close. I think this could go through to extra time, possibly, and stuff.
Italy are playing Austria. This is steam into Italy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for yourself, who's looking to wildcard after this round, and you're basically now free hitting. I mean, it's minimum three, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And they're playing early as well, so they can all come out on the team.
It's
should they not
arguably
return.
Four, isn't it? Something.
It's four, mate.
I mean,
four.
You could make
Donnarumma, Spinazzola, Insigne, and your man up top,
Immobile.
Immobile. The most mobile.
Berardi's an option, isn't he?
Yeah, it depends on money.
If you want to go double defensive, Bonucci probably for the security at the moment. But if Chiellini's not going to play, then perhaps a Cherby could be quite interesting at 5 million.
Definitely, I'm having two defensively.
And Donnarumma.
Yeah, Donnarumma's in.
So, I mean, the majority of the Italian team are very viable assets.
Agreed. Netherlands are playing Czech Republic. I mean, Czech Republic have done okay in this tournament.
I think
but
they're average, mate.
Netherlands, you'd think, are going to come through. I mean, Wijnaldum at his price is almost a lock for me. I don't know who else from the Netherlands I would go to. Maybe Danea might stay in.
Well,
oh, it's
Belgium.
Sorry. Who's the other
Dumfries.
Dumfries
brilliantly
might stay
Denzel
in.
Denzel Dumfries.
Or Windle, maybe.
He won't play. I think Stekelenburg's 4.7, so that's interesting if you want to pick that up.
I haven't seen the price rises, to be fair.
So you've got him, if you want to pay a bit extra for De Ligt or something. Dumfries,
what's your views
on
Weghorst versus Marlon?
I think it might come down to opponent. I think Marlon might come in for him, but I don't think either are worth the gamble unless Frank de Boer makes something
when you've
clear.
Got, I mean, both France and Italy have got very winnable games.
They're both reasonably priced, right? Weghorst is, I want to say, 7.1 or something. I think Marlon's about 6.6. They're cheap enough anyway. I think if you had clarity on which one's going to play, it would probably be worth the gamble. I have a feeling for this game it might be Marlon, and that might switch back again for the quarterfinals, but I don't say that with any security. I mean, to be honest, Frank de Boer was... It was pretty clear, wasn't he, on what he was going to do last game.
Yeah,
he said,
he did give us
9
of
11. We predicted the two that he would change as well. And that massively helped me because there was every chance I was going to go without them on my wild card. But then to know I was going to have 9 gave me clarity to go like Marlon, I thought, would come in and go Wijnaldum and Dumfries. So obviously, only played the 45 minutes, but I'm pretty sure that was just to save him. Van Aanholt, another one maybe, if you want to play the premium. You will get forward from left wing back.
Dumfries though, wouldn't you?
I think so, yeah.
Belgium-Portugal, the first kind of what you'd call a big clash, let's say.
Oh, you've just offended. How are you offending Wales and Denmark? And
Wales and Denmark are quite evenly matched, but this is one that it'll be, okay, everyone will be ready to watch, even if they're not following, but they're not Belgian or Portuguese. So I think this is a big game, some big name players, the likes of De Bruyne versus Ronaldo and that kind of thing, Lukaku on the pitch. I'm going to tip Belgium.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same.
Just because I think overall their squad is slightly stronger.
I actually think neither team are particularly brilliant defensively, and I think it might come down to a bit of a shootout, which then feels slightly ridiculous to go against Ronaldo.
Portugal,
but I think
a little bit
Belgium
too
have a bit
reliant
more of
on
it.
Ronaldo. That's what it comes down to. I think Belgium can eventually hurt you in slightly different ways, whereas Portugal are quite reliant on Ronaldo.
I think the really interesting one, it's difficult to know how Portugal will line up, but the interesting one to punt, I think particularly for the free hitters this week, might be Jota going in behind Meunier and coming up against Alderweireld. Jota might be an interesting one.
Okay.
And I fancy Belgium slightly as well.
And Lukaku a lock for you? Or not so much?
I'm probably going to avoid this because I can't take the gamble in the same way, right?
Yeah, true.
And I think even for the free hitters, is Lukaku, you look at the fixture and go, Lukaku or Ronaldo the best available forwards this week when you've got France versus Switzerland, Italy versus Austria?
I get
Austria,
that. I think with Lukaku, just because he played so many minutes in the last game and what have you, I think he's got the golden boot on his mind, Lukaku.
Oh, he's definitely going to play. There's no question about that.
No, but he's going to be greedy enough to be thinking about the golden boot, I think.
You think so. Cristiano Ronaldo won't be?
No, I wouldn't put anyone off
Ronaldo.
Isn't
Ronaldo on five?
Yeah,
that's probably enough, isn't it, actually?
Oh, Ronaldo.
Five is normally enough in a Euros to win the Golden Boot. It's been occasionally six.
Croatia-Spain. Not evenly. I mean, you'd think Spain are definitely favourites, but Croatia can give anyone trouble. Like if Modric can get on the ball.
It's a nice matchup because they're cultured in midfield areas
exactly,
as well, Croatia. So it's a nice matchup.
Croatia, if the Croatia are going to have to get the ball off Spain to be able to be cultured, that's the challenge. I think Spain will still dominate possession. But if Croatia can even get up to 40% or 45%, what they do with that is going to matter. But they've got Perisic's in form. Modric obviously is in a bit of form now as well. And they've got the momentum, have Croatia. I mean, Spain do as well from winning 5-0.
Croatia have given Spain a few headaches in group stages of previous tournaments over the last decade or so. I think they might do again, but I think Spain will win. I would think.
France, Switzerland. This is where I could see an upset.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you smoking?
No, but look, for an upset like this to happen...
Have you been watching Shaqiri's hips?
France have to have an off day and Switzerland need to be at their best. If France have an off day and Switzerland are their best, because from the first game against... like Switzerland, high energy and they've been all right. They will attack. So it needs a combination of a France off day and a Switzerland good day. But if that happened... I could see it happening.
No, I can't see that.
You can't see them having an off day. Even if they have an off day.
I can't see Switzerland beating them.
Even if France have an off day.
Remember how Switzerland played against Italy. And I realise Italy play with far more intensity than what France do. I mean, France actually can be quite laboured at times. And a lot of that's drawing people on so they can isolate Mbappe and 1v1s and stuff like that. But I'd be stunned if Switzerland beat them.
I wouldn't be stunned.
No, I would be.
I think I'm expecting France to win, so it makes it sound like I'm tipping this as an upset. But of all of the games, this is the most likely for me where I could see things getting a bit crazy. Where is it going to be played, that game? Do you know? It's not in France, is it?
France, Switzerland? No. I'd have to check, to be honest with you. I know Portugal, Belgium is in Seville.
It's going to be hot.
It is an 8 p.m. kickoff, which should be a little bit helpful to them. But the concern actually is that's arguably the most attractive of the last 16 games. It's probably going to be played on the worst pitch. France is in Bucharest on Monday evening.
England, Germany is the 5 o'clock kickoff on Tuesday. What are you predicting?
Penalties.
Yeah. I don't want to predict this. I don't want to predict this. The pessimist in me saying 2-1 to Germany.
Can I tell you truthfully, my heart tells me that this was always going to be the end road. Whoever we played in the last 16, what I've repeated loads of times, historical problems of England beating major nations in knockout tournament football. It basically hasn't happened since 1966. We just don't beat these big nations in knockout football. Honestly, my head tells me that England will win.
I've just noticed it's 5 o'clock and I'm thinking I need to send an email around to the company saying we're all shutting at closing at 5 o'clock, mate.
I ain't even asking you if I'm leaving early.
Yeah, I don't even know. Well, to be honest, I was just going to suggest we could whack it on the big screen, 82 incher, get the beers in the fridge. I'm going to be sitting here watching it on Tuesday. But yeah, I can't. I don't even want to predict it. I don't want the words to come out of my mouth that say England wins. I'm going to say Germany 2-1, if anything. I'm going to have Harry Kane in my team.
Really?
Yes. Historically, football is littered with big name players being written off or given a bit of stick and coming back with two fingers and a fuck you. And he is one of the best. I just think this tournament he will have his say at some point in this tournament, and I wouldn't put it past him. I just think that form is temporary but class is permanent, and I'm going to back him in my free hit team to do it.
The interesting dynamic from a Euro fantasy perspective on this one is, well, it's twofold. One, obviously, if you make the right selections from England, Germany, and you pick the team that goes through, you're in a nice position with them potentially for the quarters and semi-finals. For next week, obviously, from a captaincy perspective, it's quite an even game. Ukraine-Sweden is the other fixture. What do you do with captaincy? Do you go elsewhere on a Forsberg or a Yarmolenko? I think that's also a 50-50 game, to be honest. Or do you go someone like that with Kane and know that he could be out straight away? The one benefit of going with someone like Harry, obviously, if England do lose, you're at the high point to be able to come down and move your funds. Obviously, in your case, it doesn't matter. But yep, for those who perhaps have already used the wild card, there's some interesting strategy ideas just generally on Euro fantasy in terms of what you do from here. So, I mean, there's a strong argument to be made that you should possibly have the highest price point player in each position. So go like Ronaldo, De Bruyne, Lucas Hernandez, probably a bad example.
But 5.5 or whatever.
Defenders doesn't matter so much, and make sure you're at a top end of a goalkeeper as well. So, for example, if you take a combination of, say, let's say, Stekelenburg and Simon, for example, go, okay, that's fairly reasonable, gives me two good chances of clean sheet. What if they both get beat? You're then struggling to get to at least one of the top ones, for example. So you have to be conscious of that sort of thing. The other thing is, do you go with a ringer? Do you put someone in because they're cheap and accept you're at a full team player game?
Yeah.
For those who've already used the wild card. So Hollis is the most likely cheap strike, cheap starter. Yeah, check 4.5 million midfielder. So you can still get like the two-pointer off him this weekend. It's interesting ways of potentially playing it, because that obviously, if you go full-team player game and just write him off, gives you a little bit more explosiveness money-wise. It looks like most people are probably working with around about 106.3, 106.4. They asked for some feedback from the patrons in terms of where they were at value. And most are sort of between now, sort of 105.9, to sort of high end 106.78, so around there, sort of about 106.3 is roughly what people are working with.
Nice. Sweden, Ukraine, you think?
Nil-nil penalties.
I'm gonna back
Ukraine. No one's gonna be watching that. I'm gonna be so fucked from the England game.
Have a little bit of firepower, so I'm gonna back Yarmolenko again.
I'll go Sweden on penalties.
Yeah, shaping up nicely now. Is the tournament now
after Germany have won on penalties?
Yeah. Let's not even think about it. There we go. I hope you enjoyed it. Tomorrow, do stay tuned, because James and I will be revealing where we're at with our basically wildcard teams for the last 16 and the direction of travel, what risks we're going to be taking. And
how long have we been recording for?
I have no idea, sir.
Have you done a video at all?
No.
No. I wouldn't even bother now, mate. It's fucked, isn't it?
Maybe not now. it needs a wrap up. So, yeah, those of you watching on YouTube, we're back after a period of blank.
Sorry.
We were just carried away talking about the Euros. Maybe just listen to this one on the audio.
We done?
We are done. Do stay tuned tomorrow. Make sure you're subscribed on all the platforms and all that rest of that jazz, which you probably are if you're a regular listener. And we'll bring you our squads tomorrow. That's pretty much it. Go to Patreon if you want. Just
Season 5, episode 0.
coming out for the patrons in a bit.
Boom.
Nice. Stay safe. Chat for now.
Thanks, everyone. Enjoy a couple of days with no football. Be nice to each other. Cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.